Tonight, if you turn in your Bibles to first to Romans chapter 13, we're going to jump around a little bit this evening, and it's a little bit of a different message tonight, and something I've wanted to speak on and decided to do so tonight, and looking at a biblical view of debt. A few weeks back, we were looking at finances through the book of Proverbs in our study in Sunday school, and one of the things that someone asked him about was, are you going to talk about debt? And in the book of Proverbs, there's one reference in particular, one really highlighted, one Proverbs 22, verse 7, the rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the... Yeah, you know that verse. And I wanted to take just some time tonight to talk about some principles about debt, because as Christians, I believe it's really important for us to understand the concept as it's taught in Scripture, because it helps us see something correctly about our position as ones who've been saved, who've been redeemed from a great debt, and how that even affects our outlook on others. The Word of God references debt often, and you'll find in our culture today, people have a very high tolerance for debt. Our culture sees no problem at all with going into debt and seeing it as not serious at all. Have you noticed that? I mean, our national debt, is it $32 trillion, I think, is what I recently saw? The interest on that is almost $900 billion going up. I mean, pretty soon, that's going to be very, well, it is already insurmountable. It's hard to believe it ever getting better. And we're going to see some principles about debt tonight that, to be honest, I think you'll be helped to see what the Bible teaches about it, but you'll also be encouraged. I hope that you'll take notes tonight on the back of your prayer sheet. There's some outline that we'll be doing. Look with me in Romans chapter 13. I know I'm jumping ahead a little bit in our study of Romans, but there's a verse in Romans chapter 13, verse 8, that I want to start off with tonight, and then we'll look into a number of things in the Word of God regarding this matter of debt. And Romans chapter 13, verse 8 says, owe no man anything. Doesn't that just sound like you're not supposed to have any debt? Well, we'll explain that because it's speaking about something further than just financial. It says, owe no man anything but to, what's the next three words? Love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. And in the Word of God, there is an example given to the attitude about debt. And we're gonna talk about this matter of owing. In fact, when Paul spoke to the Romans in the letter that we've written, he speaks of owing here. He speaks of it again at the end. And he's encouraging them towards something, that they would be helpers to the church in Jerusalem, actually. That they are debtors, he says later of them, regarding spiritual things that they've benefited from, and it would be right for them in a way to help supply a responsibility that they owe, or like a debt, to those believers that they've been impacted by, even in Jerusalem. You say, how are they impacted? Well, the saints there have been impacted because they've been ones getting the Word of God out, and that Paul even was impacted by and sent out by that group of believers. That's an important thing to realize, that these folks in Rome were being impacted by something, and they should be likewise caring for them in their need. Now, the Bible speaks about debt, and I think it's important to know that the Bible has answers to how we're thinking about finances. We've talked about that. But about the matter of debt in particular, there are a lot of experts that exist in our time about what you do when you've got debt problems. Are debt problems something that many people face in our country? Yes, it is. And it's growing. And I think it's important for you to realize you're not probably going to go very far without coming in contact with someone who's found themselves in debt problems. And there are a lot of experts that will suggest how systems to deal with debt stress. And I think it's important to not just know how to deal with debt once it's come, but how to avoid it and how to realize what the Bible is teaching about what your goal and aim should be. And so God's Word addresses the warnings about actions that would lead to future trouble. And I believe you're going to find people in need of help. And some of the things that you learn tonight, I hope, will be a help in your understanding debt biblically. First of all, debt defined. In your notes there, defined. Debt defined. In Romans 13, verse 8, the word that's used is one that's common. In the word that's owed, it's found also translated indebted, duty, owest, debt. It's the idea of being under obligation to someone or to something. It's the idea of having an obligation to. And that's how Paul uses it regarding those that are back in Jerusalem. Later, he'll speak of that in Romans chapter 15. Being under responsibility to someone else. Is that a bad thing, to have responsibility to other people? No, and I think it's important to realize how Paul is using that term here. He's not speaking of it in a financial context alone. He's speaking of, if there is one thing you ought never get out from under, it is not, you are never out from under the responsibility to love others. Now, getting out from under debt is good. If it's financial debt, getting out from under that, as we'll see, is a good thing. You don't want to remain in debt indefinitely and promise that you'll do something and not fulfill what you've promised. But the idea of debt in this verse is an obligation, a responsibility. Now, do people think of their financial debt as a responsibility many times? Unfortunately, no. That is where the trouble with debt comes, as people in our culture see very little responsibility attached to their commitment to or their promise to take care of something, and the resulting effects of that we see all around our country. Number, the debt defined in the Old Testament, you'll often find the expression lender, as we saw in Proverbs 22, verse 7, borrower. And it's not viewed as an evil thing in the Old Testament. Look over at Deuteronomy 28 in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 28 and verse 12. As God was giving directions to the children of Israel, as they would be obedient to him, God promised blessing to them. And I want you to notice what he says to them in Deuteronomy 28, verse 12. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 12. Many blessings are found in the verses preceding this, but in verse number 12, there's an interesting and important statement made. Deuteronomy 28, verse 12. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And notice the latter part of verse 12. Deuteronomy 28, verse 12. And thou shalt, what's the next word? Lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. Now, the point is that they would be in such blessing that they would not have necessity to need help from others, but that they would be able to lend to others. Which of the two would you rather be in, of the two situations? Being able to lend help, or the responsibility of looking to someone else for that? God's blessing promised them they would be able to be one who could lend. Now, we're going to talk about the abuses of debt in just a little bit, but I want you to know from the get-go, the Word of God is not opposed to the idea of lending. You understand? There are some that teach it's always wrong to have debt. We're going to talk about some parameters to that I believe are very important for Christians. But the Word of God teaches that there's nothing inherently evil about this in itself. The obedience of God's people would lead them to prosperity that would enable them to lend and not have to depend. But the idea of debt is not one that God forbid at all. There's the next thing on your blank is this, debt abused. We know that debt is lending or allowing someone else to have, and usury is often a word that you'll find, the interest that could be accrued from that. But debt can be abused, and it can be abused, and the Word of God often addresses the person who might abuse the person to whom they've lent to, or the person to whom they are costing interest to come back to them by. Now, there's nothing wrong with interest coming back. In fact, in the New Testament, as we'll see in just a little bit, in Matthew 18, there's an example of that that was common and not unnecessary or necessarily bad. But I want you to look over in Leviticus 25. Leviticus 25. You're in Deuteronomy. Look at Leviticus chapter 25. Leviticus 25, verse 35. the excessive charging of interest to those in dire situations was forbidden. Even in this situation, the matter of seeing someone in need and having care towards them, rather than taking advantage of their situation, is what God was teaching his people. Look at Leviticus 25 and verse 35. And if thy brother be waxen poor and fallen in decay with thee, then thou shalt relieve him, yea, though he be a stranger or a sojourner, that he may live with thee. Take thou no usury of him or increase, but fear thy God, that thy brother may live with thee. Thou shalt not give him thy money upon usury, nor lend him thy victuals for increase. I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, to give you the land of Canaan, and to be your God. Now, do you notice the statements made in this? Debt is not a problem. And in some situations, someone may have needs, great needs. They've waxen poor. And we'll talk about that a little further. Sometimes people have gotten into difficult situations by no decision of theirs. But when they're in that difficult situation, can people take advantage of that? I have seen this happen over and over and over with people who are in difficult situations, and there are helps that only seek to cause them harm, that only seek to enrich themselves at that moment. Isn't that sad? Now, can I just remind you something, and I've got it in your notes there. Our world is no friend of grace. Our world is opposed to showing kindness and mercy, isn't it? It's selfish. That's what you and I think as Christians, know that about the world you live in, even those that promise help. And I don't want to go through life so cynical that I don't realize there are real people who do love truth that do actually want to help. But there are many who promise help who are not giving it. There are many who are promising, hey, this will help you in your situation, but it cost you. You know, have you ever heard the expression, I'll teach you how to make $100 if you'll give me $29.95. I'll teach you how to do it too. You ever heard this before? Okay. Wow, I need $100 really bad. Let me give you $30 and maybe even loaned $30 so that I can know how to make $100. Those are, and that's sad to say this, they're schemes, and there are lots of them in this world. Watch out for that. Be aware of that. This passage of Scripture pointed out you have no business taking advantage of someone in their difficulty to try to help them, so-called. I'll help you, but I'm going to charge you a whole bunch for that help I give you. If you're going to give him food, and don't expect him a bunch of usury back on that. It's not wrong for that person to pay back, but the obligation isn't on you being one who gets a whole bunch of benefit out of their difficulty. Now, as Christians, that ought to be in our mind. That ought to be in our mind about this matter of debt, that it can be abused. You and I ought to recognize the abuses of debt. Another thought on this, credit card companies, do they seek to accomplish your benefit by offering you extensions or giving you more debt ceiling? Is it your benefit that they're in interest, no pun intended, for? No, what do they want? You to be deeper into that situation so that they gain more. And sadly, our culture doesn't seem to have any concern about that. It's well, maybe that'll fix the problem. And I just want as a Christian to warn you and to have in your mind, if you're a young Christian or if you're working with young Christians, they may not realize that the culture we live in seeks to do them harm when they might be hurting. It's really important for us to note that. Rent-to-own businesses, there are even debt relief businesses that will do this, that will promise something, but they're actually seeking purely to profit themselves. Loan sharks, they're not seeking to help those in difficulty get out. They only seek to profit on their difficulty. And the people of God were called on to demonstrate something else. We're to demonstrate mercy. We're to demonstrate kindness, not selfishness at that moment when someone's going through difficulty. And you might think to yourself, what person would ever do that? You know, I think it's important to realize that we can get caught up in a culture that tells us there's ways to do things that are helpful that just aren't. And you've got to have the Holy Spirit's direction to know, what am I doing to help this person? Does it actually help them or does it hurt them? And you know, the Holy Spirit of God is the one you've got to look to know, am I doing something that helps or am I doing them harm? If it keeps them in a cycle of continually adding up and not being honest, as we'll see here in a minute, about their situation, you're not helping them. You're not being a help to them. Here's a second thing to consider, an observation I would make about debt that's abused, is we do well to avoid judgment of the person who's in need. Avoid judgment of the person in need. You know, in Leviticus chapter 25, the expression is used, if thy brother be waxen poor and fallen in decay with thee. It doesn't go into a great amount of detail, does it, about how that happened. Can there be situations where someone was wasteful by poor decision making? Yes. Do I still have an attitude that's snarky and mean and cruel towards them? No. Now, how you help them needs to be in consideration of, am I only encouraging more of that pattern? But are there people that are sincerely in a difficult situation for reasons that are outside of their control? Yeah. Yeah. Can you think of someone in Scripture who had difficulty approach him, we'll pick one thing, from natural disaster, and people could look at his situation and did criticize what he might have done wrong? Maybe his Job, yeah. His family, his flocks, all these disasters that took place to him, was it because of something Job did? We know that's not the case. But did Job know that? No. Did his friends know that? How did his friends treat him? Not the greatest at times. and they're friends. Okay? There's another, and this morning, I just read this in my Bible reading in John chapter 8 and chapter 9, I'm reading, and the story of the blind man in John 9. The blind man. Remember what the disciples asked Jesus about this man? Whose sin is this caused by? Was it his or his parents? His blindness. Why is he blind? Is it something he did wrong? Was he blind because of something he did? Was it something his parents did? No. It was an opportunity, and the glory of God would be shined out in God's mercy being demonstrated in this man's life. But no one could see all of that, could they? You know, it is very important for us not to take it on our responsibility to figure out why everybody's in the situation that they're in. Isn't that tempting sometimes? If you're going to be one who shows mercy, you have to be careful that you don't live life constantly trying to figure out, well, I think it was this, and I think it was this. And hold on, hold on. Is God gracious to you? Yes. It's really important to note that. It's really important as we view others. Don't forget the fact that everything you have is a stewardship of God's kindness. You notice that again in our passage in Leviticus 25. What is at the end of that passage about how you're to treat someone else? Verse 20 or verse 38, what does it say? I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt to give you the land of Canaan. How did they get the land of Canaan? God's kindness, his mercy, his generous spirit towards them, and to be your God. You know, everything that they would have, they were to recognize was a stewardship of God. And that's true for you and I. And so as I look at others in their difficult situations, which a lot of the context of verses regarding debt in the Old Testament, I think even in the New Testament, is in recognition of how I'm going to be a help to people, how I'm going to be an encouragement, not what they do wrong. And sincerely, there are a lot of people who are hurting, who will feel like, and can even feel like that from us if we're not careful, that everybody's against them. That's not healthy. It's not right. And I'm thankful that we have an opportunity to be an encouragement to others. And I hope that you'll have an attitude to recognize debt can be abused. And so debt isn't forbidden. It can be abused. And I think it's recognition of people that are taking advantage of that is what this culture does. It's self-absorbed. How can I get more money off of someone that's hurting? And then let me mention a third thing. Debt is serious. Debt is serious. Debt is serious. Look over at Matthew 18. Matthew 18. Apart from the reasons why someone is in debt and the possibility of mercy being shown by believers, the necessity to pay back the amount owed is a serious matter. If the responsibility to pay back what is owed is not realized or recognized, a person should expect consequences. If they have the ability to pay it back, or they're negligent because of pure neglect on their part, not putting into that situation of some calamity or their health or some other part, but if they've promised and they could pay it back, but they're unwilling to, shouldn't they expect consequences? They should. They honestly should. A person should expect consequences. And Jesus told a parable that would have been understood in the current cultural context of, well, that's what I would expect to happen. In Matthew 18, verse 23, Matthew 18 and verse 23, "Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. Verse 25, "But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made." Now, does that sound harsh? Does it sound very strong? And it does. And I want you to note this. The actions taken are not what Scripture is advocating, as in, this is what you should do if someone doesn't pay you, is go put them in slavery. That current culture knew that that would be what would happen if something was accounted by a king or anyone else in authority and you didn't pay it. They had the authority, they had the right to expect it of you and your family and anything you had. That was not a surprise. And you know what that emphasized in the parable that Jesus gave? The seriousness of the debt, the weight that it carried. The strong consequence of a debt that could not be paid. You know, our culture doesn't take much seriously. It really doesn't. The weight of sin in our culture, how much do people feel concern for their sin? It's so well tolerated by everyone that why would they feel any guilt regarding their sin? Why would they feel any shame for sin? In many cases, they can do many shameful and sinful things without any repercussions in our culture. Sin is well tolerated. But when it comes to the matter of debt, is debt tolerated in our culture? Well, more than it should be, I believe. Debt is well tolerated. I mean, look at our country. You know, I just was looking this up today. Do you know which country has the lowest national debt as a percentage of their gross domestic product? This was shocking to me. Well, Saudi Arabia was close. And you got all that oil, right? You know which one's number one? The lowest? Russia. That's surprising, isn't it? I have my theories about that, and my wife's heard all this, so I won't bore you with it now. If you want to ask me later, I'll tell you. It's interesting how much money plays into national scale issues and how money plays into things that are going on right now in our culture, right now in our world. Do you realize that debt is tolerated largely in our country and it is going to have an impact on our security as a country? It's going to have an impact on our children's future and how much weight they have. America has the largest amount, I believe, of debt that is held by other countries. I think 30% or more of our debt is held outside of our country. That's concerning. That's not a good thing. Well, why is debt so tolerated? Because it is not seen as serious. There's no consequence, so go ahead. People think of money in that way in our culture today. But it also affects, and I believe it's connected with, how they view the seriousness of their responsibility towards God, towards what God says about sin. If I don't have any responsibility, I can do whatever I want, and there's no repercussions, there's no consequence. And a consequence-free world is a chaotic one. And in this passage in Matthew 18, Jesus was pointing out the great consequence and then showed the great mercy of that king who would forgive that debt, and then the man who would in turn not show that same kind of mercy to someone else, who would exact punishment on someone else that he himself had been given great freedom from. Now, the kind of debt that is serious is something I think that we should recognize when we come into any question about going into debt. If it's a house, or if it's a car, or any kind of debt that you're considering, do you consider it with great seriousness? You ought to. You ought to. You ought not go into a debt situation, whether it's a credit card or a house or any other kind of debt, in a flippant or less than serious way. And here's why. We have to recognize the serious nature of this because our culture doesn't consider debt seriously. Our culture encourages debt in its worldview. You're not responsible. Blame someone else. College debt forgiveness. Haven't we heard about this recently? Just forgive their loans. And our country is spiritually in debt as well as financially. And our enemy is often what we allow ourselves to be driven by. We are a lust-driven society. I want it so I can have it. That's what drives a lot of the debt. I want this, so I ought to get it. And I think nothing about the consequences of those choices that I do very flippantly what I choose. And I think kids that are in here and those that are watching, you can make decisions about how you use money, not doing things on a lust-driven, I've got to have this, I want this, so I got to have it, or else I can't be happy. If you're making decisions about that, but not with the seriousness regarding paying it off, you're in trouble. And it's important for every one of us to consider debt in a correct way. Here's number four, the debt to avoid. The debt to avoid. Is debt wrong? Well, I'm going to give you a verse that points out what kind of debt is always wrong. Look at Psalm 37, verse 21. This kind of debt is always wrong. Psalm 37, verse 21. What kind of debt is wrong? The debt that you don't plan to pay off. Going into debt, knowing you don't plan to pay it off, is wrong. Saying, I'm going to get into debt, but bankruptcy's already on your mind. I don't have to take responsibility. I'm just going to let, as you begin to make the choice, that's the wrong kind of debt to get into. Psalm 37 and verse 21 says, the wicked borroweth, and what's the next word say? And payeth not again. Okay, borrowing with the goal of paying it off is the thing that you're to be considering. If you borrow with no intention of paying it off, that is debt you should avoid. If you're borrowing and saying, I don't want to pay it off, I'm not going to pay it off, but I'm going to, you know what you're doing? You're being dishonest. It's stealing, yeah. It's not truthful. Debt is wrong when you don't plan to ever pay it back. Knowing that you cannot pay back and taking a loan is not wishful thinking. I've heard people use that term. Well, I just have some wishful thinking. Wishful thinking is not what it is. In your notes there, do you know what you have and how you pay for it? You know what you have and how you pay for it. Sadly, that's not often processed. And if you don't know what you have and how you will pay for things, you ought to be very, very, very cautious about any debt or going into debt. Because if you don't know how you're going to pay for it, you are risking dishonesty that you could avoid. Now, this sounds very weighty, doesn't it? I think we need that kind of weighty talk about this because it isn't talked about like that in our culture. It's go do it and then think about it. No, think about it first. That's what we're called to, is to be ones who consider well the cost of things, to count the cost. A practical kind of debt you can avoid is when you believe your happiness depends on remaining in debt. That you can avoid that debt. If you believe that I just got to have this to be happy, that's a debt that you can recognize is unnecessary. When you know it will lose value, and act like it's a necessity when it's not, okay? There are all kinds of things you can go into debt for that lose value that you may believe are a necessity but may not be. Let me give you an example. My trip to Hawaii, okay? It's not for work. It's just for pleasure. But I've planned on this for years. You didn't plan to set aside the money, and you've got to have it? isn't it possible that someone could just have wishful desires but not make provision for those things and then set themselves up for trouble? Now, you may find that you disagree with this, but I'm going to tell you, if you don't plan to pay back what you've committed to, you are being dishonest. And as Psalm 37 says, the wicked borroweth and payeth not. It's necessary for us to consider that we're going to pay back those things. Here's the last thing, the debt to keep. And I'm going to pick up on this one next week because it's really important for you to recognize there's debt that you're supposed to keep. And that's in Romans 13 again. Romans 13, verse 8. Romans 13 and verse 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. And that kind of debt is the debt or responsibility to demonstrate Christ's likeness to others regardless of how they treat you. I think it's important the verses preceding this deal with government. They deal with people who have done you wrong and not regarding recompensing evil for evil. How am I going to treat others? I'm going to treat them with the debt that I am to always have towards others. The debt that I'm to have towards others always is a responsibility, a necessity to do something, an obligation to love them. You know that that'll affect how you look at other people if you're constantly filtering it through the obligation like it was a financial one. Some of you are very good with finances and may have paid off your debts or close to it or all of it but a house perhaps. But isn't it interesting that we could be very, very astute to paying off financial obligations but then be somewhat stingy, if I can use that financial term, when it comes to how I treat other people. How I view someone, how I look at them, how I see someone who maybe has trouble with finances. And it's very important that I don't love them just because of what I can get from it, or I don't love them just because of how well I see them performing. I love them because it is my obligation to them. Is that how you view it? You know, if you're good with money, and I dare say that that's the case with some among us, our church is a church that people have been very good in their stewardship of this ministry. Pastor Henry before me, very, very good. The church doesn't have debt. That is remarkable in our day. There are many churches with great amounts of debt. I praise the Lord that that is not something that this church has sought haphazardly to remain in or to stay in that position. That speaks to the attitude and unity of the body, which is encouraging. And I want you to know that's where I want to continue on it. There's a right perspective and place for debt, but that attitude of I just want to stay there in continuous form, that's not a biblical attitude. The idea is to pay off debt. But that I could have a correct idea of finances, I also must have a correct view of others. And we'll look at that more next week. I will try not to jump into too much of that right now. All right? You may have questions after a message like this. I'm glad for them. I really mean that. And I may have just opened up enough of the, okay, now what about this situation, Pastor? I'd welcome that. I think the discussion about debt and finances isn't something we should be afraid of. And I don't want to be your financial advisor. Okay, that's not why I'm saying that. But I do think sometimes there are practical questions that you need answers to that if you need direction, let's look at the Word of God and let's have direction for it. Father, thank you for your word and that it addresses our lives and the situations that we'll find ourselves. Help the truth that we've looked at tonight to sink in and to help us have a correct perspective about debt in particular. And Lord, help us as we continue to see how we are to see others and our obligation toward them. And Lord, we'll thank you for how you'll grow us in our care for others and our stewardship of what you've given us.